Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on November 19th, 2009. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before the secure bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us, anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. In his commentary, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Folks, I cannot stress it more and strong enough that we should all become educated as to what is going on. There are stealth programs. There are stealth events occurring. When I say stealth, things that we do not see, we do not recognize, that are going to affect us very soon. When I say very soon, folks, it could be next month. It could be within the next 5 years. Hopefully, it's the next 5 years so we all have more time to prepare. But this isn't going to be nice. History repeats itself. It always does. And we are making the same mistakes we made back in 1930. And we are going to get it in spades this time, because our situation is much graver than it was in the 1930s. We are no longer a creditor nation. We are no longer a oil exporter. We are no longer a manufacturing powerhouse. We are dependent on everyone else. And the only thing our government wants us to do is spend whatever money we get. They want to keep that money going, what they call the velocity of money. Keep it going so they can tax the heck out of us. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our list by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I almost did not get on the air this morning. Would you believe that? Wow. I just about made it. It said 5 seconds to go, and I was almost ready. Well, I'm glad to be here. I hope I'll have some listeners here this morning. I know it's quite early. This is the red eye. This is the red eye flight of broadcasting, you know. I do the 6:30 in the morning because this is the time that I could always make it, because I'm up at 5:30 every morning, and I'm alive and awake and raring to go. But this program will be rebroadcasted 24 hours a day, all the way through next Thursday, unless we have a guest in between, and then it'll be interrupted, and we'll rebroadcast that live broadcast. And usually we have a guest on Monday afternoons, but we'll see what happens. Folks, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a fellow who I consider extremely intelligent. He not only is a sharp guy, a good speaker, good thinker, you name it. In fact, he even writes plays, movies, you know, or scripts. I mean, you really have to be smart to write a script. You have to know a lot of things about a lot of, you know, have to know a lot about a lot of things. You have to be able to coalesce all this information into on paper and make it make sense and make a movie out of it. I mean, that's a remarkable feat, in my opinion. And we had an interesting conversation because both of us heard a speech by a fella who was talking about the Federal Reserve System. Well, this guy is a quintessential progressive. And he really is. He doesn't know how progressive he really is. He talks about the free market, but he does not believe in the free market whatsoever. And he's in business for himself, and he doesn't believe in the free market, which is kind of interesting. And he said, well, I asked him what he thought of the speech. He said, well, I thought the guy gave a good speech. He says, but, you know, the content, he said, I can't go that far. You know, we need to have an independent agency so that we don't politicize our money supply. You know, and I looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you this. Is our money supply politicized now? He says, well, yes. I said, then what have we achieved? He says, well, I guess that's a point, but we need to keep it separate. And I let it drop at that because the conversation was going to go absolutely nowhere. I didn't want to, you know, get in this discussion. We're having a nice lunch. But I kept on thinking about this conversation, and it drove me nuts. I said, what was it that I missed? What was it that I missed in this conversation? That one gleaming point, that one event that would have occurred where he would have said, you know, you got a point there. Maybe I'm wrong. Not that he is wrong, but maybe his thinking is wrong. Maybe his progressive thinking is wrong. Unfortunately, I thought about it too late. I thought about it after the fact, and here it is. Has anyone ever given any thought how the owners of the Federal Reserve, which is primarily the Rothschild family, the Warburgs, the Morgans, etc., the Ponts, and the Kuhn family from Europe, has anyone ever given any thought as to how these people were chosen to own our money? They own our money. They're the ones that determine when the money goes out. They say, oh, but it's owned by the Federal Reserve banks here in America. Oh, yeah? How much? Who has the most influence? Who's the major stockholder? Who makes the decisions? Now, we know Ben Bernanke, is the Federal Reserve chairman. What does that mean? What kind of organization is it? We know it's not a corporation. We know it's not a limited partnership. What is it? We don't know. It's just this organization. It's an organization that's out there. And no one describes, not even the government describes, what kind of organization is it? Now, why is this important? They're the people who own our money. Folks, we are humble to them. They dictate to us what happens. If they print more money, the money we have in our wallet depreciates, gets debased, which is exactly what they've been doing. But just think about it. How do they go about that? Do they call all the heads of these big families and say, by the way, would you like to own our currency? Would you like to print our currency? And then the head of the Rothschild says, you know, I've been just thinking about that. I'd like to go in the printing business. I mean, just think, how do you think that occurred? Well, there's a book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's very interesting. It gives us insight as to how these people all got together. And it was in secret. And what's really very, very interesting, the Federal Reserve was voted in by Congress on the eve of Christmas Eve. I think at 3 o'clock in the morning. They made certain only those people were present that would have voted for it. Now, the people who voted for it, how did they know what they were voting for? Maybe they didn't care. Maybe it was too late. They just wanted to go home for Christmas. But maybe they truly understood what they were doing. But there was something in it for them, not for us. Why wasn't there a national debate on this thing? Why weren't the people informed about this thing? This was all stealth voting. But whether or not you agree or disagree with the Federal Reserve and whether or not we need it or we don't need it, just think, how did it come into existence? No one, folks, no one can answer that question. And if someone has the answer, I invite you to call 646-652-4620 and enlighten at least me. So just think, an organization, a private organization that's not even in the United States, that are primarily European people, families, wealthy European money families, own our currency. Well, the only response that I gave to my friend is this, well, why don't we just print our own money? Wouldn't it be easy? We get printing presses. Wouldn't cost us anything. Oh, he says, it'd be too politicized. Why? Why would it be? Why would it be any more politicized if we printed it or they printed it? In fact, if they printed it, to me it becomes more politicized. Because now they are injecting their political will on us. And that's exactly what's happening. Well, the guy that gave the speech, he said, well, the Federal Reserve was designed to assist the economy from boom and bust. Well, what happened right after the Federal Reserve was enacted? In 1920, we had the worst depression the United States has ever encountered. Worse than the depression of 1930. The thing is, the government backed off. Industry took over. The free market took over. And we're out of it in about 18 months. And we're booming again. Then we had the depression in 1930s. The government got in, stayed there for 17 years. We really never got out of it. Oh, yeah, people say, well, World War II got us. World War II got us out of the depression. Now, that's bunk. People during World War II, people were poor. They were just as poor. They were in the same shape that they were in as they were before the depression. The only difference, they had jobs. They had jobs making bombers and bombs and guns and bullets and stuff. All with money that was manufactured, just printed out. Printed. We went off the gold standard. They just printed it like crazy. We went into the most hellacious debt, even hellacious compared to today's standards. Compared to today, it was hellacious relative to GDP. They say, but look what happened after, obviously, government spending must have done something because after World War II was over, you know, the Depression was over. Sure, the Depression was over for us. Do you know why? Because no one in the world, no one in the entire world had any manufacturing capability. They were all bombed out. And if their factories weren't bombed out, their men, their young men were killed in war. They didn't have any workers. So the demand, the worldwide demand out there, was filled by basically one manufacturer, the United States. That's what got us out of the depression, is destroying the rest of the world. It had nothing to do with the good fiscal policy by the Democratic Party and not FDR. No, if the rest of the world still had that manufacturing capability, the depression, in my opinion, still would have, we'd still be in a depression, because our government would have been more and more involved, and we'd all be more slaves than we are today. But it's interesting to me that I cannot think through this when I hear someone speak. Like, my brain gets locked up. And it really, really annoys me. All right, enough of that. The next subject I want to get on, the talking point before I get on to my major point, is I was reading Andy Sutton's newsletter. I subscribe to it. And it's really fantastic. Now, he has a bi-weekly newsletter that's free of charge, folks. And it is the best in the business. No flair, no garbage, no sensationalism. Just the facts. And he puts it in language that I understand. And believe me, that's tough. For me to understand it, that's going some. And it really is interesting, some of the aspects that he brings out. For example, he brings out the velocity of money. The velocity of money. How many people understand what the velocity of money is? Let me give you an example. The Federal Reserve, we buy our money, we buy some money from the Federal Reserve. By the way, we got to pay that money back. So when we pay it back, we got to pay it back with some sort of fee or dues or interest, right? Which means that we always have to pay back them more money than they give us. And they're not us. So that means we got to print more money to pay back the money we owe them, which means that now we got to print more money to pay back them the money that we owe them, because it keeps on piling up. You see what I mean, folks? It's self-deprecating. I mean, it's dead. You can't do that forever. Eventually, you know, we're just printing so much money just to pay them back. We're not using it. We're just paying them back. They get richer and richer. We get poorer and poorer. What a great scam that is. That's the Federal Reserve, folks. Federal Reserve Bank. It's not federal. Not federal at all. They have no reserves, and it's not a bank. Talking about a scam. The United States government lies. I tell you, they're the best liars in the world. The very best. I bet you other countries learn from us. All right, the velocity of money. Let's say the Federal Reserve prints some money. They put it into the system, right? I go to the bank, get the money. I get the dollar. I take the dollar, and I put it in my drawer. I don't spend it. I want to save it. The velocity of money is zero. That means that money went nowhere. It wasn't used for anything. Now, if I go out and immediately spend it that day, and the next person spends it, you know, then the velocity of money, that index keeps on going up. My point being is that the velocity of money here in the United States is decreasing. It keeps on going down. Now, that's typically dangerous for an economy. Now, the only reason why we have been able to sustain the standard of living that we have had is because the velocity of money kept on increasing. It was more money changing hands more often. You know, people got money, bought a, spent it. They bought four-wheel drive pickup trucks, you know, cell phones, you know, flat-screen TV. You know, they never held on to the money long enough to make it warm. Of course, and those people took the money, and then they bought more inventory, and then the people who bought the inventory did this, did that, and then they took it and put it overseas to buy more supplies, bing, bada bang, bada boom, right? So this money was churning crazy, crazy over and over and over again. Now, when you have this money turning over, you have taxes being paid on it, right? Because you have sales tax, you know, and all this other stuff. Then you have people making money. Then you have income tax, corporate income tax, all this other good stuff. So it looks like the economy is doing very well. But it can fool you, and it fooled us. And now the velocity of money is decreasing, and as a result of the velocity of money decreasing, right, there's less tax revenue, there's less goods being sold, higher inventories, stagnant inventories. Ships all over the world, folks, ships all over the world are docked. There is a place in Indonesia, which is dedicated for ships no longer in use. And I saw a picture of it. It looks like an armada. I think it's like 700 ships. I go 7,000 ships, something like that. I forgot the number. Some hellacious number. The picture was taken from an airplane, you know, 1,000 feet up, thousands of feet up. And all you see is literally an ocean of ships totally devoid of humans. I mean, they may have one person on there just to watch it or, you know, keep the boiler going or whatever they do to maintain it. They have a skeleton crew on there so it doesn't sink. Thousands of ships all over the place. And that's not the only place. They're all over the world because the velocity of money is going down. That's interesting. Subscribe to Andy Sutton's newsletter. You can see it online. They can send it to you via email. It's sutton-associates.net, I think it is. Just Google it in case you can't find it. And I tell you, it's the biggest favor you'll do yourself. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Very interesting. I mean, down-to-earth stuff. And if you don't know it, if you're hiding from it, folks, you're going to get murdered. You're going to get crushed. I'm just lucky. About 12 years ago, I said, there's something wrong with this whole damn thing. And I just started very slowly thinking about it, starting to prepare small things. And where I am now, I'm way ahead of many other people. Not that I was smart. I just took a certain road, and I kept to it. I'm glad I did. I could have been wrong. And believe me, I've been wrong. I'm wrong 1,000 times a day. This one I hit on the head. A dangerous situation, folks. Real dangerous. Anyway, anarchy. You know, when we hear the word anarchy, what do you think of? Think about it. You think of people running in the street, you know, yelling, screaming, breaking windows, you know, other people beating up other people, taking their possessions. I mean, total disarray. Social disorder. Can't trust anybody. Anarchy's on here. Anarchy's here. You know, there's no government. There's no nothing. You know, everyone's going to kill each other. Burn the houses down. That is the picture, folks, that has always been painted regarding anarchy. But you want to know something? We libertarians are anarchists, whether we like to believe it or not. Because Basically, an anarchist is someone who wants to be left alone. I mean, like, basically, that's it. Now, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. I don't care. You're Constitutionist. I don't care. I don't know of anybody. I don't know if I've never met a big bruiser who was a Democrat who said, hey, yeah, bug me. Yeah, tell me what to do. You see, there's anarchy. There's a little bit of anarchy in all of us. I like to go further than that. There's a hell of a lot of anarchy in all of us. In fact, Americans are anarchists by nature. Because for years, for decades, for centuries now, we've been saying we want to be independent. We don't want a government telling us what to do. We want to make our own decisions for ourselves. We want to be able to make those decisions without any government interference. Now, we say that, but we say, oh, you're an anarchist. Oh, no, I wouldn't know to be. Now, just think for a second. Now, just like my conversation with my friend about the Federal Reserve, that I never think of the right question to ask at the right time. Think about this. Let's assume today, no government. Government went away. Took a vacation. Government's going to be on vacation for 30 days. There is no government, right? You wake up in the morning. Let's say you have a job at the local mill. Are you going to get up and burn the local mill? Are you going to get up and beat your wife? Are you going to go out there and start? What are you going to do? There's no government. Sorry, there's no just no government. None at all. It's all gone. It went on vacation. What are you going to do? You're going to get up, brush your teeth, take a shower, have your breakfast, walk your dog, kiss your kids, kiss your wife, and go to work. Now, when you get in the car, you say, hey, there's no government. I'm going to take my car, Korean, kill people in the street. No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do anything differently. But you'll feel a hell of a lot better. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, total anarchy. What I'm saying is that anarchy is good. Anarchy's been given a bum rap. Like, oh, you're an anarchist. That's what you are. You're an anarchist. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times people have told me that. You're libertarian. You're an anarchist. The answer is, you're right. I'm an anarchist. So what? Oh, yeah, you don't care about anything. You kill little children. You know. They go crazy. You mean it? Because we have an anarchy sense about us. We're anarchists by nature. Does that mean when we see like a little kid, you know, a harmless little kid, you know, defenseless little kid, we're going to take the kid and beat it and kill it? Kill the poor kid? No, of course not. That's so stupid. But that's the impression that people get. And then when people say government, they say, oh, it's structured, there's calm, there's a sort of agreement and everything works well, everything's fine, you know, there's order. There's order to society. There's no order to society. Whenever you have a strong government, everyone hates everybody else. Everybody wants to kill everybody else. You know why? Because I made the money and that bum's got it and he hasn't done a damn thing for it. He's an SOB, you know what? Now I want to hit the guy. Now I'm really pissed off. The government creates the very conditions. Governments create the very conditions that we perceive, folks, that we perceive anarchy creates. Just think, the government does it. The government creates exactly what we think anarchy creates, and it's not true. It's the exact opposite. In fact, this would be, just think for a second, if we said, hey, government, take a vacation. Who here wants to go to war? Raise your hand. If call in 646-652-4620, say, I want to go to war. I want to go somewhere where I don't know people and kill a lot of innocent people. I just want to kill people. I want to go to war. I think that's what we should do. There wouldn't be one person in 10, except for, you know, deranged person, one person out of 10 million that would raise their hand. If we had anarchy here in the United States, we wouldn't be at war. But we're structured. We're loyal. We're loyal to our government, so the government gets in a disagreement with somebody, we go to war, and we kill all those people. We nuke them! Is anarchy preferred? is anarchy preferred over structured government? I want you to think about that. Now, are libertarians anarchists? We're all anarchists. Every one of us. I don't care if Republican, Democrat, I don't care who you are. You're an anarchist. Given a choice of being controlled by someone else or you taking control of your own life, which one would you pick? If you say, no, I want control of my own life, you're an anarchist. You are an anarchist. I don't care who the hell you are. On my drum set, and I tell you, the toughest thing to do is just to practice drums when you're home alone. You're lonely, you're sitting there, I got to practice my drums. You know, I got to practice. I'm not that good. If I don't practice, I get worse. But I got a sign on the drums. And it has three words on it. It has autonomy, competence, relationships. Let me repeat that. Autonomy, competence, and relationships. Autonomy means that you own yourself. You know who you are. I mean, to be autonomous or create an aura for yourself of autonomy is probably the pinnacle of self-enlightenment, I guess. You know yourself. You know you. You are. You are who you are. You're sure of who you are. You know, you have this sense about you. Competence is very difficult. Competence means I got to stop what I'm doing and practice the drums. Like this great pianist said one time, Carnegie Hall's a snap. Practicing is tough. And he's absolutely right. Profound statement. And relationship with others. Those first two create the foundation to have a fantastic relationship with others. And you should develop those relationships. Now, you can be an anarchist and do all three of those. You cannot believe in a structured government that controls your every move and have all those three. It's not possible. So it's not possible to be happy and to have a structured government. Folks, there's a little anarchy in all of us. And this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Please let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle, and I love riding my bike. I got a G650. You feel free. Liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control your ride and every move. Aha, no one likes that, folks. Let's get back to that word anarchy. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." I love that. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned.